Trust. Hear that word. Trust. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And welcome to the first of the three chapels in our Spiritual Life Week. It's a gift to be gathered together in this way. It will be a gift to hear from God's word and to worship together. I trust as we journey through these next couple days that God will begin to evoke something deep within you as you let it go, learn to trust, turn your attention to God's awareness and presence within you. Grace and peace be to you this day.
It is my pleasure to introduce our Spiritual Life Week speaker this year, Mag Richard Smith. I'm drawing on my memory here. I think we shared 1 year together as seminary students in the 70s. I won't say whether it was the beginning, middle, or end of the 70s, but it was in the 70s. Mag is has just, I don't know how you account for this time, but just completed 30 years of pastoral ministry, which is a significant block of ministry. I have a Facebook friend from the congregation, which Mag and Bob currently co-pastor, and on Monday she wrote this, no, Sunday, had a beautiful day and nice service at Crooked Creek Christian Camp today, celebrated 30 years of pastoral ministry of Mag Richard Smith. And so their congregation was evidently in retreat, and part of that time together was celebrating this 30 years of ministry. That ministry has been in a number of locations, Normal, Illinois, Indianapolis, Indiana. Is Kenton here today? Don't see him. Kenton informed us as faculty that he and his family were a part of the congregation there. From Indianapolis, Meg and Bob moved to Lombard, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago, where they pastored at Lombard Mennonite Church. And for the last 11 years, they have been at First Mennonite Church in Iowa City, Iowa. For 27 of those 30 years, Mag and Bob have co-pastored. They have three adult children. They informed me this morning that two of those three children are currently students at Associated Mennonite Biblical Seminary. So you may want to talk to them about how you survive as a seminary student. They may be learning that from their children. Our family has opportunity when we visit relatives in Iowa to attend worship services at a variety of Mennonite churches in that area. We always look forward to going to First Mennonite Church in Iowa City. Memories that I have of our visits there are one of Meg's preaching. Now, if you look at the order of worship, they don't use the term preacher, they use the term proclaimer. And Meg is often the proclaimer in the worship service. Bob will often lead worship, and they share together there in ministry. I've always been struck by their hospitality as individuals and as a couple. Always feel very much at home there. Our family was also blessed to intersect with Meg and Bob in the summer, I think, of 2006, when our daughter Shannon was in the ministry inquiry program at First Mennonite Church. And both Meg and Bob served as wonderful mentors. It was an amazingly positive experience for our daughter. There's one phone conversation I will never forget about midway through that summer when Shannon excitedly called and was talking about what she was doing, and she was doing a lot of things. They entrusted her with lots of opportunities to preach, to do pastoral care, and I remember Shannon's words. She said, "Dad, they're having me do everything, and I love all of it." So I think we may have a budding pastor in our family. Meg's hobbies include reading novels, walking, cooking, and travel. And they have traveled here to be with us for these 3 days. This really begins the final month of what totals to be a 3-month sabbatical for the two of you. Several of those months occurred earlier this year, and I'm trying to remember our conversation in April. You spent time in Guatemala, right? With one of our graduates, Willie Hugo Perez, spent a significant block of time there. After they leave here, they're returning to the Midwest, and then their final sabbatical destination is Italy. So if you're interested in going along, check with them. Welcome, Meg. We look forward to your words for us. One final word. Last night, I checked with Shannon. I said, what shall I say about Meg as I introduce her? And the first words out of her mouth were, say she's an amazing preacher. So that's not to set you up or anything, but... welcome to our midst. Just imagine that we're at 405 Myrtle Avenue. I know the people there are friendly and hospitable, so are we.
Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if a woman would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. She does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once she goes in with her sickle, because the harvest has come."
I have long been a recipient of the seeds that have been planted here at Eastern Mennonite Seminary. I have colleagues, friends, congregational members, and teachers who have deepened their understanding of the way of Jesus in this place. And so it is with great joy that I'm here among you this morning to worship with you these days and learn to know you and learn from you as we share together. As Lonnie said, this past January, Bob and I were privileged to be in Guatemala City and study at the Mennonite Seminary with Willie Hugo Perez, who is one of the best teachers I have ever had. And so I'm very grateful to this community for the seed you planted in Willie Hugo's spiritual journey. Those of you who know him know he had a very traumatic childhood during the war in Guatemala, and that he had a very tumultuous youth and young adulthood, but along the way, he met Jesus in community and transformed his life into a life of planting seeds of Christ's reconciling love and the holistic gospel of peace in a place that desperately needs peace. Willie told us that he may never see the fruits of his labor, but that he thinks that perhaps his children, or maybe his grandchildren, or maybe subsequent generations after that, will harvest the seeds that he is planting now for the kingdom of God. Well, he told us a simple story his grandfather used to tell him. He said, once there was a man who was traveling from city to city, walking these villages, and he came upon a village where an old man was planting a seed in his garden, and it was a large seed, digging a hole for an avocado seed. And the man who was traveling stopped and asked this old man, why are you planting an avocado seed? Do you not know that's going to take so many years to grow into a tree and to produce fruit? And the man said, yes, I do know that. But I also know that people have planted trees long ago, planted seeds that grew into trees so that I could pick the fruit. And now that is my role, to plant seeds for the future. There is long-range vision here, and perhaps we all need to have some longer views. I continue to be moved by a definition of maturity that was given at my son's graduation from Goshen College by Professor Joe Lichty. Joe said, maturity is this: plant the seeds, let them go, never know the outcome, need no credit, and do it all as an offering of praise and gratitude. Planting the seeds, letting go, trusting. Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seeds on the ground and then waits. There's no immediate gratification. There's no fast track, and there is no assured growth. Farmer plants, casting the seeds in the soil, waiting night and day, sleeping and rising, and we don't know how long that goes on. Waiting can be excruciating when we see nothing but barren ground. Trust. It really is hard to imagine that perhaps the Spirit is rioting with those roots underground when we do not see visible growth. In our parable, the farmer waits, and then one day, there are these green little sprouts coming through the ground, and I imagine that the farmer just sits back in wonder and awe. Aha. God has been here all along. God has been acting. And there is an assurance that harvest and resurrection are real. Growth is taking place. But that growth is not ours to do, and that growth is not ours to make happen. The passage tells us the earth produces of itself, and the Greek word is automē, from which our English word automatic comes from. The growth happens automatically, telling us that the Spirit is greater than our efforts. Growth happens because God is here. God is moving, God is life, and God honors the seeds we sow in love. Jesus likely is addressing this parable to the zealots who want things to happen right now. They're tired of the oppression. They're tired of the Roman occupation. They're waiting for the Messiah to come and crush their enemies. And they want it to happen now. They're ready. But Jesus is telling them the kingdom's already here. and he's modeling a way of suffering, nonviolent love. A love that is going to be greater than all the powers and is going to transform the precincts of death. So it is in this context of impatient criticism, of grasping for control, that Jesus tells this parable. He doesn't deny the need for oppression to be lifted. He doesn't ignore the miseries of the people. But he is calling for patience, and he is certainly calling for trust. God is going to bring the kingdom to fruition, and the reign of God is coming on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is calling for the faithful scattering of seeds. Trust. Trust the Lord of the harvest who is at work among you even when you cannot see. Plant the seeds, let them go. Never know the outcome. Need no credit. And do it all as an offering of praise and gratitude. Trust, it is the word I come back to most in my spiritual journey. It's an everyday word, and it's an everyday challenge. Trust the Spirit to move within the seeds we plant. Trust the creativity of God. Trust the one who's bringing hope, even when all we can feel is despair. This parable challenges us to scatter seeds, to do what we can, and to trust the Lord of harvest for the growth. Seeds, how many different shapes they come in. Sylvia Pannebecker was an elderly woman who was the spouse of a former administrator of the seminary I attended in the 70s. Sylvia, every morning, would take a walk around the campus, and she would stop at each apartment door. She'd learn to know our names and where we lived, and every morning she would stop and say a prayer outside our residence. I asked her one day, "Sylvia, what is it that you are praying for when you stand outside my door in the morning?" I'll always remember, she said, "I pray three things. I pray that the Spirit of God will move in your life. I pray that what you are learning here will help your love for Jesus bear fruit. And I pray for God to give you a blessing of grace for this day." You can imagine that as students in seminary, we were greatly encouraged by this woman who would come by our house every day. There she was planting seeds of openness in us. Dean was a physician in Indianapolis. He was in his mid-40s, he was married, he had a daughter. And he hadn't attended church since his childhood. One day he had some electrical work done in his home, and the electrician left a bill on his table that said, "There's no charge for this work. I only ask that you go to church this Sunday." Well, this was kind of a bizarre suggestion for Dean. And he thought, "Well, okay, I'd like to honor this bill. Now, where would I go to church?" He worked in a large clinic and had many colleagues. He said, "Okay, which one of my colleagues go to church? And of those who go to church, who are the ones that I most respect?" He said, "I thought of two people. They treated their patients with dignity, and they had lives that seemed to have integrity. And both of those people happened to be members of First Mennonite Church." Dean showed up that Sunday, brought his family, and I don't know exactly what happened that Sunday, who reached out to him, what he heard, but I do know he showed up the next Sunday and the next and the next, and eventually made a faith commitment, and we baptized him, and he became a teacher in our congregation. His wife became active in the outreach of our congregation, and they became seed scatterers in the kingdom of God. I'm sure that Cletus Miller will never know what his financial contributions to me as a seminary student meant for my love of the church and my desire to serve it. Cletus was an elderly man in the congregation where I grew up. It was a congregation where hardly anybody knew what I, as a woman, was doing in seminary at the time I was there. He came to me one day and said, "Could you use some help? I want you to know I appreciate you, and I appreciate what these studies might do in your life." Every month, a check came from Cletus. And I know that Art Gish and John Howard Yoder probably will never have any idea what they did for a young man in Kitchener, Ontario, who was disillusioned with the church and had a lot of unresolved grief and left the church, closed the door, and never intended to go back, but ran across their written words and became transforming in the life of this man who is now my husband. Seeds. I'm quite sure there's an electrician in Indianapolis who would be floored to know the transformation his little note made in a family's life. We're planting seeds of God's kingdom every day. Whenever the living love within us, the living love of Jesus within us, meets and greets people with kindness and respect, whenever that loving spirit within us goes around a wall or knocks down a wall that fear has created, whenever we work together to address the structures of injustice, whenever we nurture children in love or break bread together or listen to each other's pain or pray for each other and build each other up, whenever we give voice to the good news of our nonviolent, merciful Savior and his radical love, whenever we disarm ourselves of cluttering possessiveness in order to be more generous to hurting humanity, and when you gather together as a community to discern what in the world God is calling you to now, and then rise up and follow that leading, just remember, God produces fruit from anything you sow in love. Resurrection may take longer than 3 days. 40 years in the wilderness may not be long enough. But one day, children are going to pick fruit from the seeds you have scattered in love. Plant the seeds, let them go. Never know the outcome. Need no credit. And do it all as an offering of praise and gratitude. I'd like to close with words from Archbishop Oscar Romero. It helps now and then to step back and take the long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it's beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a fraction of this magnificent enterprise that's God's work. Nothing we do is ever complete, which is another way of saying the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says it all. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission, and no set of goals or objectives says it all. This is what we are about. We plant seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds that have already been planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that are going to need further development. We cannot do everything. And there is a sense of liberation in knowing that. This enables us to do something and to do that very well. It may be incomplete, but it's a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for God's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the results, but that is the difference between a master builder and the workers. We are workers, not master builders. We are ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own. Trust. Amen.
Bless you, Meg, for being a shepherd of words, to let the Spirit sow a seed within us. Each of you have a seed that you received when you came in. If you don't have one, there are some more up here. If you want to plant more seeds. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a farmer would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day. And the seed would sprout and grow. And the farmer does not know how. As you hold the seed, what is God's invitation for you to let go of, to plant? Just in this quietness, just get in touch with what you have heard, what God is inviting you to plant, to trust, to let go of, to take no credit for. I invite you to come.